And for the sake of our brother and his wife from Tennessee, just a little address of what we've been studying for these last 2 years, 137 weeks as a matter of fact. We began following the life of Simon Peter. The title of our Bible study is Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ. That's what he calls himself. That's how he addresses himself there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an Apostle of Jesus Christ. And it was our intent when we began was to see the situations that our Lord had put Peter in from the time that the Lord walked at the seashore and called Peter and his other disciples to himself, and see the path that Peter was put on from that point on and what he had to go through. So that when we came to these two epistles, we could maybe, by God's grace, have a little more understanding of where he experienced. Because that's what it is. That's what salvation is. It's an experience. We experience the grace of God when he reveals the condition we are in the flesh to us. Depraved, completely depraved, totally depraved. Nothing we can add, nothing we can give. And then he shows us the grace of his love for us that he's had since before the foundation of the world. This morning our studies on this path have brought us to this second epistle. And we are in chapter 1, and though we can never exhaust the Word of God, I believe that we covered the first two verses with sufficiency for now. But let us keep in mind their content as we go into verse 3. So read verses 1 and 2, if you would, with me, of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then after his introduction to that, he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. This is my prayer for you, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And we looked at all this through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, you're taking those two verses, let's go into verse 3. According, grace and peace be multiplied according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, I want to consider that word according for just a moment. According. Folks, our grace and our peace is found in one thing, and that's in the knowledge of our Savior. And we pray that it will be multiplied according. That's what that's talking. That's what that's saying. That it might be. Now, that word according, I looked it up, and it's used a couple of different ways, but I saw three ways that it was used that just blessed my soul. So I want to ask you to turn over to Luke. Hold your place in Peter, because we're going to come back to that. Turn over to Luke chapter 1, if you would. And let's look at how this word is used in verse 41. Now that exact word, according, is used here in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it says, and it came to pass that when, that's the word. That according, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see that that word according can be used also as when. In other words, a certain time. It's not just, let's see how I can say that. I had that in my mind how I was going to say that. When is also used as the word how. And let's look at that next. I'll save what I was going to say for the last of this. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. That word according is used by the word when. In other words, when the time was right. And then over here in Mark chapter 4, we see that exact same word used again, only this time as a different, in a different way. Mark chapter 4, verse 27. Is that right? Oh yeah, okay. And should sleep and rise night and day, that the seed should spring and grow up. This is talking about spreading the seed, teaching in parables and the stony ground and so on, as we read back in verse 16. So, verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day. This is a person that planted the seed, that the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. It's talking about the guy, the one. Look at verse 26, and he said, so the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. That word how is the exact same thing. It's the word according. So we see how the Lord has used that word according in two different ways so far. We've seen as a time, but it's also as a how, a way, a means. So one more, if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 2 with me. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 2. Now the word we're going to see here that is according is even. Or in other words, even so. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus and him crucified. Verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I was reading the wrong verse there. I lift off a 1. That's what happens when you get old. Chapter 12, verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led, according as you were led. So we see when, a time, how, a means, and even so. Now, I want you to go back to our text in 2 Peter, chapter 3. And let's read this same verse, this time using these three different words. See how it fits. Instead of saying word according, put in there when. When as his divine power, in the time of his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Boy, that sure fits along with the time that he called us out of darkness, doesn't it? In the day of his love. Okay, let's do that again. This time, let's use the word how. How, in other words, by what means, as his power, divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of him, as it says that he hath called us unto the glory and to the virtue. Now, one more. Let's put even in there. Even as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we get a pretty deep understanding now of what according means. That means according by him. It's all about by him. Our Lord delivers, he gives us everything we need, folks. If we're lacking in something, it's because the Lord hasn't brought us to ask for it yet. Sometimes we don't ask for things that we need because we don't know we need them. I think of trials and tribulations. Oh, how often we get down in the most darkest part of our closet and cry out for the mercy that God gives to us willingly and abundantly because of something we need that we didn't know we need before. Oh, how we are provided all that we need. Now, by his divine power, purpose and power, God has given unto us all things that are necessary, needful, and suited for spiritual life. I need to start doing more of this. Maybe you do. Get on your knees and call to God and ask for it. Our Lord is just, he loves being merciful to us. He loves us so much, he gave us his only begotten Son. Why would he hold anything else back? He won't. What we need, he'll give us. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God This was what you read last night. Who of God has made unto us wisdom, not wisdom in this body that we have, not wisdom in this sin-filled mind that we have, but our wisdom is in Him. Just like you were telling us last night. I could have just copied that down and put that for our Bible study, but actually I already had. He is our righteousness. What do we need for godliness in this world? We need righteousness. And we're in His righteousness. Of Him, of God, ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us sanctification, holiness. We're as holy as Christ Himself. The blood of Christ covers all of our sins. Not just the one I committed 2 seconds ago, but everyone that I've ever committed ever. Isn't that good news? That's good news for a sinner. Yeah, I can't remember the whole conversation, so I'll leave it for another time. We were talking about, isn't it wonderful to know you're a sinner? Absolutely, absolutely. Knowing that we're a sinner, we know the grace of God and His love for His people. Of Him, of God the Father, who of God has made unto us, in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us redemption. His blood paid the price. There is power in the blood. Listen to the words of Colossians 2:10. It says, and ye are complete in Him. Peter is telling us that by God's divine power, that grace and peace that we talked about last week is given to us by the divine power. It's the same thing Peter wrote back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, who are kept, speaking of those who have an inheritance, an incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last moment. That's what Peter's telling us. We are complete. What rest can we have? That's wonderful rest. I like the story you told us about the guy last night who just, wow, isn't that just simple? Yes. The sovereignty of God, take His yoke upon us. It's light and easy. If you're heavy burdened with the idea that you have to earn your salvation in something, throw it away. Throw it out. Look to our Lord and Savior. We're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of everything. It's His divine power that keeps us and gives us what we need to live in godliness and in virtue and in glory. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Colossians 1 verse 12. Give thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. That means proper. That means fit. I'm fit. I know that's... No, you're not, John. Yes, I am. In God's eyes, I am. You see the flaws. Trust me, you don't see as many flaws as I see. I see it all. But God sees even more. He sees the blood of His Son. And it's on the doorpost of my heart, put there by Him. And death passes by. Which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Through our Lord's divine power and the knowledge of Christ, who has called us by and to His own glory and excellence, we have all things. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Isn't that what it says in Romans 8? Can anything separate us from the love of God? You've heard me say this over and over again. I can't separate myself from the love that is in God. And Lord knows I try often enough to walk off and do my own thing. He'll let me stumble my toe and see just how weak I really am. How loving God is for us, huh? We have all things that pertain to eternal life. We have all things that give a right to it. And we have all things that equip us for it. Robert Hawker wrote this. I love to quote Robert Hawker. He's got such wonderful words. He says, reader, didn't that sound, reader, grab a hold of this. pause over this marvelous account, he says. It is God the Holy Ghost by his quickening and regenerating grace in giving spiritual life to the dead in trespasses and sin, which brings the child of God into the first discovery of God the Father's electing love, the Son's betrothing redeeming grace, and for all though in the everlasting love of God the Father, it had been running in streams and grace from all, even though God the Father had been running the streams of grace from all eternity, yet now, as a river underground, hath blessed the properties of, as it were, neither known nor seen nor regarded until our generation. God the Holy Ghost opened the eye of the child of God to see the original and eternal purpose of God the Father. You brought that out in your message last night. We know the will of God. The will of God is to glorify His Son for the good of His people. He opened the eye of the child to see the original and eternal purpose of God the Father in choosing the church in Christ before the foundation of the world and in predestinating the church in Christ to the adoption of children. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5? And never, goes on Robert Hawker to write, and never till this blessed period when God the Holy Ghost brought forth the child of God in a new birth of grace had the poor sinner any apprehensions either of the person of Christ or of his betrothing love or redeeming mercy. But as the Apostle Paul expresseth it in his epistle to Titus, he writes these words in verses 4 through 7 of chapter 3. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we, being justified by his grace, should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, Robert closes with these words. He says, I pray the reader not only pause over the contemplation of this vast mercy, but day by day to ponder it again and again and again in our walk of faith through the life. Oh, the unspeakable grace when called from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto the living God. Now, Peter gives us an account of the way and the means by where grace and peace are multiplied. Now notice it is through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. This acknowledging or believing in the only living and true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent is a great improvement of spiritual life that our Lord has given us. And it could not be the way of life eternal unless it was that way through Christ Jesus. We read that in John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, it says these, and as thou hast given him, speaking of Christ, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, that they might know thee. We couldn't know the Lord and who he is and how he is and the sovereignty of who he is if it was not for him revealing himself to us. We talked about that as we were driving yesterday. I can't remember where we were. Gabe and I were driving along, and it's just amazing how simple the gospel and the truth really is. How often, and you folks, we've had this conversation, several of us together, how often have we sat back and talked together about, it's just so easy, why couldn't we see it before? Babes can understand this. Babes who've been brought to the light of Jesus through the preaching of his word. Babes. All of us. Children. Children. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The ground of our apostles' faith in asking and of the Christian's hope and expecting is the increase of grace. What we have already received should encourage us. The Lord's blessed us in so many ways, we should be encouraged to get down on our knees and call upon Him every time. Even when we're not knowing that we're in need of it. Lord, what do I need today? Oh, how I wish I could pray like you described last night. Oh, how I fail at it all the time. But thank you, Lord, that you remind me that I can do it. I can come to Him for mercy. He's been merciful to me before. He's going to be merciful to me again. It should encourage us to do that. Consider these three points and we'll come to a close. The fountain of all spiritual blessings is by the divine power of Jesus Christ and as God and as well as man, the God-man, in His office as mediator, He lovingly and abundantly discharges all these blessings. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians 1, that all blessings come flow through Him? All things, secondly, all things that have any relation to or influence upon our true spiritual life, the life and power of godliness, are from Christ Jesus Himself. It's not me. You know, our Lord tells us not to let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. You why? You know why? Because our mind gets mixed up in the middle of it and thinking, look what I've done. No. It's not, look what I've done. Look what my Savior's done. I'm talking about giving and the blessedness of people who have, God has been given a gift to them, a multitude of whatever it is. Talent to play the piano, monies, time to spend it cleaning up or mowing the lawn. Whatever that is, it's a gift given to us from God. And if God's given us, why are we saying, oh, look what I have? It's a gift from Him. Jokes. God gives and God takes away. Yeah. Everything we have comes from our Lord. Grace for grace comes from our Lord is what we read in John 1:16. Even all that is necessary for the preserving of us, the improving of us, the perfecting of us, the grace and the peace, which according to some commentators are called here in this verse, godliness and life. Thirdly, we see the knowledge of God and the faith in Him are the channel whereby all spiritual supports, all comforts are conveyed to us through His Word. But then we must own and acknowledge God as the author and our effectual of our effectual calling. For so He is here described. It says, Him that called us to glory and virtue. Now notice the design of God in calling and converting men is to bring them to glory and to virtue. That is, in other words, peace and grace. Again, some commentators have interpreted that as glory and virtue. So we have our effectual calling set forth to us as the work and the glory of glory and virtue, and it's done by the glorious power of God, as we see in Romans. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 for just a moment. Let's read three verses there. Ephesians chapter 1. The knowledge of our Lord increases glory. What glory? Not glory in this flesh. Glory in Him. Grace aboundeth where sin aboundeth more. You know what that means. It doesn't mean you go out and sin more. It means that the more you see how deep your sin is, the greater our Lord's grace becomes. I'm so far down here that even if He's given me a little bit of grace, it's better than anything I've got down there. And if I thought that's down too far, the Lord's going to show me I can be down even further. But in my Savior, I'm lifted up. Him dwelling in my heart is lifted up as the serpent was lifted up. Look here at Ephesians. It's for His glory. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse 16 and just read a couple of verses here. Cease not to give thanks. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you. Speaking of Paul for the Ephesians. Making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the one who sent him, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. There we go, speaking again, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Folks, it is the glory of God's power to convert sinners. This is the power and the glory of God which is seen and experienced in his sanctuary. David wrote about that in Psalm 63, verse 2. He said this. He said, and David was out in the wilderness of Judah. And he wrote these words. He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now, this power, this virtue, is precious to all that are called out of darkness into the marvelous light. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Philippians 1:11, we read these words, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That's you and I. Unto the glory and praise of God. Not us, not in this flesh, but in his Son. That's who he sees us. He doesn't see all the stuff that we see, Polly Mary. Thank God for that. He sees his Son. He sees the blood of his Son and passes by it. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. This is how we hit. This is how our faith increases. This is how we increase in our grace and our way of walk. We increase in his grace. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. As we read in 1 Peter, the last chapter of 1 Peter, last verse, it says, or 2 Peter, the last verse of 2 Peter's epistle. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I got to be where the word of God is preached. I got to be where the word of God is worshipped. I got to be there. I can't find myself anywhere else. Kathy used to say to me, you're going to church again? Yeah, why? I don't know. I just got to go.
I know.
I know now. After 23 years, and I'm still learning why. But I know a little bit more now than I did when I first called out of darkness. It's for his glory. Why do you got to go? Why do I got to be where the gospel's preached? For his glory. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Stand with me if you would.